Hi, this is Dr. Kimberly Linner, author of Visualizing Happiness in Every Area of Your Life and host of this podcast, Incredible Life Creator. And today, my guest is Miss Emily Jansen. Hey, Emily.
Hi, Kimberly. Thank you for having me.
Yes. And just so people can get to know you, I'm going to go ahead and read your bio and then we'll get started. So, Emily Jansen has been called a next level motivator and inspirational leader. She lives up to her motto, "Be so good they won't forget you." Her wildly successful TEDx talk, Six Tips for Building Your Confidence, garnered 3 million views in 1 year and was number 12 on the list of most watched TEDx talks of the 16,000 uploaded to the TEDx YouTube channel in 2022. She is frequently called upon to speak and consult on how to create more confident, goal-driven employees by Fortune 500 companies, sports organizations, and national conferences. She teaches strategies that create more confident employees who experience less fear and anxiety, have increased motivation, have greater resilience, improve relationships with colleagues, and bring their authentic selves to work. Emily's book, Let's Go, A Guide to Increasing Your Confidence, will hit bookshelves spring 2024. Emily emerged onto the scene as a leader in the sports industry when she was named general manager of a triple A baseball team in minor league baseball, the first female to hold this role in nearly 20 years. Well, welcome to the podcast. Just so people can actually really get to know you, because we have our bios, but then we have our stories. So tell us how you started out. You kind of have been pivoting a little bit. You were starting in sports and then talking to people about confidence. So just tell us your story.
Sure. So I'm a small town girl from Lake Villa, Illinois, a tiny town of 3,300 people in Northern Illinois. And while I had an incredible childhood, it was small. It was comfortable. My parents were amazing. I had great friends, went to, the local high school and had big dreams of what could come next for me in my life, but I lacked a few things. I lacked resources, connections, access, and most importantly, confidence. I had confidence to, be a part of teams, of sports teams at my high school, like a lot of kids, but anything beyond that, I was too shy. Kimberly, I was too shy to even order a pizza because I didn't want to talk to a stranger on the phone. And my high school counselor encouraged me to apply to University of Illinois. And I got in, went to college at U of I. And I remember walking in to my dorm room my freshman year and thinking I wasn't sure, what was next. But the girls across the hall from me were already sophomores because they had scored so high on their AP tests. And I just thought, like, wow, I was feeling, like a minnow in an ocean. And now I'm feeling like I don't know if I'm gonna make it. There's all these people who are smarter than me and who have more resources than me. Who am I and what can I do? And through a lot of, I think, work and grit, I realized that, I can reach my dreams too. Why not me? I just have to put in the effort. And so I started to put in the effort to become a more confident person. And I did. I landed a role with the Chicago Bulls after graduation, selling season tickets there. That's where I really got my foothold in the sports industry. Went on to work in nonprofits, planning major events, selling sponsorships, meeting with heads of companies and pitching them on why they should give money to, our resources to help these families. And then, further down the twists and turns that your career can take, I found myself in Reno, Nevada, taking a job as an account executive with the Reno Aces, the AAA affiliate of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And at this point in my career, I had had 8 years experience in the industry, but I took a almost an entry level position because I realized one thing, like sometimes when you're entering a new role or a new market, you might have to take a step back to propel yourself forward. And this was another exercise in growing my confidence, growing my voice, growing my skill set. 2.5 years later, I was vice president at the company. And As luck would have it, as life would have it, my husband got a job in Houston, Texas. So we moved to Houston and I cut my teeth in major events in the city of Houston, which was incredible. And during that time, I kept in touch back in baseball, and a couple of years later was offered the general manager role. And with that title, I was the first female GM in nearly 20 years. And with that role came something that a lot of people are uncomfortable with, and that's public speaking. I started to stand up and take the microphone and speak not only on behalf of the team, but on behalf of women in a male-dominated industry. And this led to an opportunity several years later to do TEDx. And I formulated a talk on confidence. I used my growth as an individual to show how I came from, a shy small town girl to somebody leading a team and standing on a stage and talking in front of thousands. And also someone who I lead a podcast called Leadership is Female, where we create visibility for women who are really crushing it in their jobs so that we can lead the next generation forward. And I used these stories, my experience, distilled that down into a talk on confidence, and it took off like wildfire. And that really started my speaking career as a professional speaker. And also, my book comes out in the spring of 2024, Let's Go, A Guide to Increasing Your Confidence. And that is the shortest version of the story that I can tell your listeners as to why we are here today.
Yes, and when you talk about being too shy to order a pizza, I'm like, well, how did you get in front of these companies and ask them for money?
Yeah, well, that really came through practice, will, grit, practicing the behaviors that can lead you to be a more confident person. As humans, as people, we are sort of born to love our comfort zone. We'd rather have on, our slippers in our comfortable chair with our favorite drink than enter into a situation that would make us have nerves or sweat. And really, those situations where you make yourself uncomfortable and you survive pushes your comfort zone a little bit further and therefore grows your confidence. So I've been teaching the behaviors that can help you to get into those situations, make it through the other side, and grow your confidence.
So when you were in high school and growing up, what sports did you play?
Yeah, so I played just about everything. There wasn't a lot to do in rural Illinois unless you were on a sports field. So I played soccer was my main sport. I of course started in T-ball, so I have those roots in baseball. But I also played basketball, volleyball, gymnastics. I was a cheerleader. I ran track, cross country. I mean, you name it. Sports was really the foundation of who I am, taught me teamwork, taught me competition, taught me that hard work can pay off because if you put in effort, you can grow to become better at that sport. The same way if you study, you are more proficient at that material. And it really is something that I like to remind people of today. You studied to get where you were today. You played sports and you were able to improve. And I think a lot of us, as we get older and grow in our career, we forget about that investment in ourselves to continue to grow. And I think it's vital to live really big, fun, fulfilled lives. You have to keep pushing. You have to keep pursuing more. And I think that used to come naturally to us when we were younger. You're pushed through school or you're on a team and you're required to go to practice. But as we get older, we just kind of get comfortable. And I think that that can lead to unhappiness. It can lead to anxiety. Decreased motivation is never fun. And I want to change that.
Yeah, because when I think about that, it's so easy, especially as an adult, you don't have anyone pushing you, when you just want to procrastinate or you're dissatisfied, you're uncomfortable, you're really not happy with your life. But what do we do instead? We distract ourselves, we go on the internet or we play a video game or do just mindless things. Or if you're at work, you just check emails instead of being productive. But a really happy person is always really wanting more, because you're not going to be happy just sitting where you're at.
Yeah, it's so true. And you're spot on when you talk about we distract ourselves, right? That's why it's so easy to pick up our phone and scroll, or read the news, or hop on social media, or watch a TV show. And trust me, like, I'm a fan of Netflix. However, it is isolated to like a small time during my day when I want to unplug and unwind. So I totally agree with you. We live in this distracted society, which I think really contributes to overall unhappiness. I mean, today they say that people are more unhappy than ever before, which I think is such a tragedy, because we have more access to people and information and things to do, and ways to get there than ever before.
Exactly. So, some people get confidence just by learning something new and mastering it. But there's a different kind of confidence, that confidence in yourself, the identity you're being. So, when you were younger, and I can relate because I was very shy, growing up, I was the listener. That was my identity. But as an adult, not only do you have to get confidence by getting better at what you do, but you actually have to change your identity. So when you're working with people, how do you help them with that?
I really talk about like the sort of the root of where this is all coming from. One, I don't believe that confidence is something you're born with or you're not. I think it's a skill set that you can grow over time, and you really need to dig in. And I'm sorry, hold on. Anders, my kids just came home from school. All right.
I don't have a count to 10 in German.
Okay.
Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf, sechs, sieben, acht, neun, zehn.
Good job, honey. Okay, can you leave and close the door, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
I
That's okay. That's all right.
Do you remember
So
what I just
I didn't
asked
mention I'm a mom of three kids.
you?
That was impressive, though. My 6-year-old learned how to count to 10 in German. So that's very exciting. Okay, so how do I help people who want to improve their confidence but aren't quite sure where to start? I think first and foremost, we've got to recognize that confidence is a skill set. It's not something that you're born with or not. It's something that can be grown over time by practicing these behaviors. I do think that first and foremost, you have to find your why. You have to know why you want to do something before you can find the courage to enter into the arena. And I don't think that that has to apply to only like big goals, big scary goals. I think it can apply literally anywhere in your life. Why are you working? Well, I've got to make an income for my family. Why do you spend money on that car? Well, it's important for me that I can get to and from work or picking up my kids or to the grocery store safely. Why do you exercise? Well, it's important for me to keep a healthy mind and body. All of these things in our lives, like, there's a reason or a motivation behind it. So first and foremost is identifying the why. Second is endeavoring to do that thing. And the thing is not always going to be easy. There will be challenges that stand in your way to getting to the gym to exercise. Lots of things are going to pop up in your way. But if you have a why you want to do that, you can get there. And the exercise is probably a part of some larger goal that you have in your life. Let's say, you're leading a team, you're a manager at work, and you have to have a difficult conversation with one of your staff members. There's some issue in the workplace. Why are you going to have that conversation? There's a whole list of reasons why you need to have it, but you might feel like, oh my gosh, I can't do it. But when you think back to, okay, I've been hired to do this job. The company is trusting me to lead this team. I owe it to this person to tell them the truth And to help them to become a better, you know, performer, better individual, I need to have this conversation so that you can have that kind of self-talk before you enter. And then I teach these different tips on how to like engage in these difficult moments. And one of my favorite ones is 3, 2, 1, go. Real simple, very, very simple, but it is a tried and true tactic. If you count yourself in, so let's say you and I, Kimberly, like I need to deliver some information to you. I set up a time to talk to you, or I meet you at a place where we're going to talk. I say in my mind, 3, 2, 1, go. And if I can start talking and engaging in that conversation, momentum is going to keep me going. I'm going to survive that conversation. And at the end, my comfort zone and my confidence will have grown just a little bit that I am a person who can engage in these difficult conversations and make an impact for this individual, make an impact for my company, show up in a way that makes me proud to be a manager. There are so many implications for that. And as a result, your confidence will grow.
Well, that makes sense because, you know, we're used to doing that counting since childhood.
Yes.
Hey, 1, 2, 3, go, or 3, 2, 1, go. I mean, we're just almost programmed since children. And you're right. You just need that bump. You need that something to get you going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely.
So when you're working with managers, with companies, what are some of the primary first things you start with?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's understanding why having more confident employees can benefit the workplace and your bottom line. And more confident employees experience less fear and anxiety at work. They have increased motivation to get their work done. They have greater resilience. So when things go wrong, they're going to feel more confident that they can ride through that bumpy situation. They have improved relationships at work, which is something I think any of us would want in our workplace. And they bring their more authentic selves to work when they feel like a more confident person, which is really important today that we feel like we can be a 360 human in the workplace because our workplaces are demanding more from us today than ever before. So first of all, understanding why confidence is paramount. And then from there, really teach the behaviors that you can use. We talk about, you know, what you can use and when and what situation. And then my favorite part of working with companies is goal setting. So then we look at those individuals and everyone in the room can really chart what their future looks like. And the collective impact of several hundred people in a room setting goals together that they believe in for themselves, the impact that that has on the company is immeasurable. So that's really how I love to work with these corporations. When I get the chance to get in front of the room and work with these people to really understand how they can build their confidence, why each individual is so important to this world, reflecting on all that everyone has already contributed and how far they've grown, and then using that to propel them into new heights in the future.
Mm-hmm. So when you're working with people in goal setting, you were talking about, are you talking about them each having their own individual goals and then having like a common goal?
So it's for the individual. I think that, you know, and if companies are setting goals, most of the time you're working one-on-one with your employee to set their goals for, let's say, the sales team or something that's pretty tangible for the company. But I think if you take a greater look at that individual at for their personal and professional self, you are going to get more out of that person. So we look at personal and professional goals for the individual. And then the collective impact of everyone in that room working on themselves and working on their impact on the company collectively is incredible.
Beautiful. So talk about women in the workplace. Now you did something, you were a first in something. You're a first manager. So there are other women that would like to be first in something where there's not a first yet. So what is your advice on that?
Yeah, so I started the podcast Leadership is Female. One, I think women don't share their story enough. I think we're getting better. I think that there's an old adage that we pull up the ladder behind us. You know, we've worked so hard, maybe in the darkness or in silence, earning these positions, winning these roles. And really, I think if collectively we share our stories, we expand our networks, we help the next person up, it's only going to create more opportunity in the future. So I think first and foremost, like we got to get out there and share what we did to get where we are today, because we draw inspiration from seeing others' achievements and knowing that anything is possible. I say all the time, when I'm speaking with companies, why not you? Like, to each person in the room, why not you? We're all people. Anyone you're looking at is a person who has just gone the extra mile. So why not you? Why couldn't that be you? So that's really that main piece of advice for that person who wants to be the first in something. It's why not you? And then you're really looking at formulating your plan. How are you going to get there? Who do you need to meet? What do you need to do? What experience do you need to have? What rooms do you need to be in to make those contributions that are going to allow those doors to open for you in the future? And think about how you can get there faster. You know, I think that traditional ladder climbing one rung at a time doesn't have to be the norm. You know, you don't have to go into one company, look at the CEO's chair and say, I'm going to be there one day. You know, you've got to look at what is the best next right move for you after you've made, this is important, after you've made a marked contribution in the place where you're working, you can start to look at what the next opportunity is. But you must first make your mark. You know, I see, and I don't want to encourage job hopping without having kind of planted your flag in the ground and saying, I did this thing. I contributed in this way. I made this revenue for this company. When you can do that and the next opportunity for you is not available within your current organization, I think that's where it's time to leverage your network and look out for what's next and make your goals really clear on what it is that you want to do, because you can't create that next position, that next part of your vision, if you don't have a clear focus on what that is. I've spoken to so many individuals who wanted to, quote unquote, pick my brain and find out how I did what I did. And when I've turned the tables and said, well, what do you want? And you can't articulate what it is that you want or how you want to contribute or who you want to help, who do you want to serve? The world is not going to open up for you. Like, you have to be so much more clear on your vision in order for somebody to help you to get there.
Exactly. So many people don't know what they want and they can't get there because they don't know where they're starting and they don't know where they're going.
And I think that, I don't know if you've experienced this, but like, just take the next right step, right? And let that help provide clarity for you. I think we get too jumbled and confused by all the information and all the what ifs that are out there. Just take the next right step, and as you do that, that'll start to create clarity. It's like these micro decisions in this larger vision of what you might have for your future. You're not going to hyperleap from where you are today to where it is you want to be in 10 years. We have to have a little bit more patience with our career. And again, we have to make the contributions that are going to allow us to market ourselves for that next bigger, better opportunity.
I couldn't have said it better myself. One of the reasons I have this podcast is for people to find their purpose, their passion, live it, master it, go into it. And I want them to see the pivots. I want them to see that you don't start with the job out of college, high school, and then become the CEO unless you're opening your own company. But usually that's not the way it is. There's so many pivots, and people think, well, that person's so successful. How could I ever be like them? But like you said, they could be just like you or do something similar because everybody has the same potential. They just
Yeah,
have to.
and I would say they could be just like me, but be you, right? Like you can have this aspiration of what it is you want to do with your life, but you still want to be you. You don't want to be me. You don't want to be Dr. Kimberly. Like you want to be the best version of yourself. And the only person that we're in competition with is ourselves. That's it. Like, be better than you were yesterday. And rather than competing with other individuals, which is one of the behaviors that I teach when we talk about confidence, like, stop competing with everyone else and start supporting them, start cheering them on. And when you do that, something shifts like in your mind and in the universe almost to be like real, pie in the sky. But like when your vision is focused on like, wow, good for her. She got that promotion. She did that thing. She earned her doctorate. She's getting her master's. She had a baby, whatever it might be, like good for her. I'm so genuinely happy for that person. You're not in competition with them. That's their life, not yours. And support them. And when it becomes your time that you do something great and you want to share an accomplishment, it's going to feel amazing to have a group rally around and support you for what you did. You're going to want that kind of support. So show that for others, and that will help grow your confidence as well, to know that you're not in competition with anybody else.
That's huge. I just love all the things you're saying because they're so deep. They're so important that we just look at ourselves, be the best person we can be, compete with our own selves, not with other people, rally around other people. Because I feel like when everyone is at their best, highest level, working at their highest level where they can be at that moment, and then you get together with all your gifts, all your skills, you can create something huge, wonderful, effective, that you couldn't do if you were in competition with everyone around you.
Absolutely. It's so true.
So, I had a few more questions about, so when you got that position, that first position where you were the first woman, did you get some negativity coming in? Did you, how was the reaction when you took that position?
Yeah, it was interesting because I had earned the role because of what I could do. And really, when you're a general manager in minor league baseball, you're running the totality of the business of baseball for that team. And I had earned that role based on what I could do and how I could perform, but it came with this the subtitle, first female GM in nearly 20 years. And I thought, it's incredible to be a first. Anytime you get that chance, grab it. However, I also felt like, man, I got this role because of what I could do, not because of this subtitle. So I'm not really sure what to do with this. So I just got to work. And then about 7 months later, I was at industry meetings, baseball winter meetings, and I was invited to speak on a panel to the women in baseball, and there were over 300 people in the room, which was amazing because we're, not a large percentage of employees in this industry, yet we filled a ballroom. And I talked about my story and shared what I had done to get there and, some other things about my work, my home, my kids. And after the panel had ended, I left the stage and I kind of walked out into the middle of the room, and a line had formed in front of me, like it usually does, like after a talk or panel. And one woman after another said, I didn't know that I could hold that position until I saw you. I thought only men could have it. And that's where things really like exploded for me, that I was like, man, I get it now. Like, I need to keep showing up and speaking up so that we have visibility that like women do this job too. And if I can go out there and do great work to back up everything I'm saying, like, it's going to make more space for women and it's not going to be such a shock. And yeah, I've got lots of crazy stories about assumptions that were made about me. You know, are you a player's wife? You know, things like that. You know, it's endless, about the misidentification of me as a leader and who I represented at the team. But like, that's not what I focus on. I focus on the impact that I had in that role, the things that I started for women in baseball, the visibility that was created around that role. There's several female GMs at the top level in minor league baseball today. We've had our first female GM at the major league level since I was in that role. And, you know, it's how we lead her forward, and it's how we create great allies in men is by like doing great work, being really smart, like showing up as yourself, like really just doing what we can already do in those roles and talking about it so that it becomes just normal, right? Like there's no misrepresentation of who's in charge, and they're not looking at, you know, someone I manage standing next to me and assuming like he's the boss, right? They know that it's me. Mm-hmm. So it was an interesting ride for sure. But it was such a great time in my career and one that I love to speak about and just encourage women, like, go after it. And then when you get there, like, bring other people along.
Beautiful. Is there something about women that brings something different to that role? Because, you know, I know, like, for years, nurses were mostly women, but now we have so many wonderful men nurses. Mm-hmm. But for years, it was just women. So what do women bring that's a little different, that adds a little spice, a little something different?
Well, I think women are amazing leaders because, just generalizing, you know, women have a really, really great level of emotional intelligence, where we can really read a room, read a situation. We're very in tune outside of ourselves, rather than just inwardly, which I think makes great leaders. We think about all the details in baseball and in events. There's endless amounts of things to get done. I think women are also very resourceful. I think that we're not afraid to learn something new, you know, especially in the game of baseball. It's a historic game with a storied history, with a lot of people who don't want to change. And what women bring to the table is they're not afraid to change. Like, if there's a better way to do it, let's try it. Let's look at the data. Let's see if we can streamline this process. Like, we're not afraid to shake it up. And that can lead to higher revenues, lower expenses, greater fulfillment for the people that you manage in their roles. You know, the upside is endless. But I mean, ultimately, I think it's finding the right person for the job. And finding the right person requires a diversity of thought and approach to your hiring. Don't just, to use an old adage, don't just bark up the same tree. You know, if you ask the same guy for a referral or the same recruiter for a referral, you're going to get the same types of candidates over and over and over again. So think about how you can diversify that process so you can interview and open your mind to a more diverse opportunity for talent.
I love that. So at this point, I would like you to tell people what your offers or your services are now, how to contact you.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here on the show and for asking that question. So my website is emilyjanson.com. It's Emily, JANSON.com. And on my website, you can find an opportunity to pre-order my book, which comes out in spring of 2024. It's called Let's Go, A Guide to Increasing Your Confidence. The early reviews are in and people are saying it's the right book for right now. And I encourage everybody to order a copy. I'd feel so grateful if you supported me in that manner. I also do professional speaking, and I love to deliver this type of information, confidence boosting behaviors, goal setting, you know, working with small teams to doing keynotes in rooms of a couple thousand people. I really bring the energy and just love to make a difference. So really professional speaking, my book, please follow my podcast, Leadership is Female, where we're bringing amazing interviews with women who are in leadership positions around the globe so that you can improve in your life, in your workplace. And I'm always doing something, Kimberly. So check out my website, follow me on Instagram. Also at Leadership is Female is the way to find me. And I would just love it if you reach out and connected and thought about me for speaking or picked up a copy of my book.
All right. Well, now I want to ask you a personal question. What gives you the most happiness and fulfillment in your life right now?
That's a great question. And the list is long. I'm very happy to say. I think that I've really tried to be mindful of practicing gratitude over the last couple of years, and it makes a tremendous impact. It's very simple. You just write down three things every day. But I, what brings me the most happiness, I've got three children who I adore. They're young, they're all under 10, and I am in it, and it is incredible. It's also very hard. I'm not going to shortchange that, but it's worth it. I have an amazing husband, and personally, I'm always setting new big goals. So I'm running a marathon in February. Training for that run brings me great joy. I've got some big goals for my business, for my family, for myself. I really love to push myself and then celebrate when I get there. And that brings me a lot of joy.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast and for all your wisdom. And I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Me too. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So I have one last question before we finish. What is your best advice on living an incredible, amazing life?
My best piece of advice for living an incredible, amazing life would be gratitude. There's just some days you might just be grateful the sun is shining, or, you know, you find a cool looking cloud in the sky. Like, it doesn't have to be these big, incredible things in your life. I think finding gratitude, finding appreciation in the small things, you know, a smile. I'll tell you, one of my favorite things is every week when you're trained for a marathon, you have to do a long run, and it's long. Like tomorrow it's 16 miles. And I could look at it and think, oh boy, like, what did I sign myself up for? It's freezing here. I don't want to do that. But what I love when I'm out running, there are so many people that are also out walking their dogs or exercise, and everyone raises their hand and waves and smiles. And I find so much joy in that little moment of people who are out there just like enjoying a day. And so that's what I would say. It's like, find the little things that bring you joy or gratitude, whether it's hot coffee or a trip to Italy. Like, it could span that spectrum, right? But find happiness in the little things. And I can't even tell you how big and beautiful and great your life will be and how much it will open up if you can just enjoy the small stuff and find gratitude.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon.